It is just one of my most favourite places on earth to come. And I want to say that just thank you to Rob and Denise. I was a young woman when I was started coming here. And we've grown old together. We've actually older, but you know, my grandkids weren't even born and my children weren't married and my son who was still at school, my daughter was still at school. And yes, they're, you know, in their 40s and I have grandchildren. But the faithfulness of God that I've seen in this house and the impact that this house has had on me, that's why I don't need to pray or whether I should go. It's like I always get impacted and I can recall the times when in worship the Lord so touched me. I remember back, I don't know how many years ago, that the worship team began singing Jesus, What a Beautiful Name, and I was undone because of the anointing in this house. I was undone. And so I've just loved the presence of God in this house, but also I have loved the faithfulness of Rob and Denise, and they have seen me through the ups and downs of life and sat in their kitchen and, you know, poured out my heart, and they've been faithful. And I want to say this, they have never detoured from the right or from the left. They have been faithful to the call of God. What I love about, many things I love about MCF, but doing life together as a family. And I was in a church recently where they were celebrating either 30 or 40 years, but two of the daughters got up and sang together a song that I think they must have written about, thank you that you brought us to church. We had a family that brought us to church. And I really love that I go places now and the children I prophesied over are leaders and I'm prophesying over their children. And a house, a church, the family that prays together stays together. The family that plays together stays together. And the way you guys do community and do fellowship and, you know, our children need a place of stability. A place where they can come and see their friends and grow in Christ and grow in the knowledge of God. And so I want to say thank you. Thank you for staying the course because I see many of you and I've recognized you from, you know, the years, 29 years ago from when I was coming up the first time. And so thank you for staying the course, but thank you so much. Rob and Denise, the humility of your hearts just to pursue God and the passion to pursue God and the passion for the presence of God has never, ever, ever abated. And I've loved that. There's some stable, sure people in the kingdom of God. And I want to say, I just want to honor you guys for always staying the course. And yeah, and that old saying that you know so much about me that if we fall out, I'll have to kill you. So, but no, it's great. And many wonderful, Tiara, great to see you here. And many, many people. If I start naming people, I'm sure going to offend someone. So I won't start naming people. But just being with the ladies, a couple of the ladies, the intercessors and some lady leaders and that yesterday, I was struck again with the incredible quality of people that gather here, the diversity. One of the other things I love is the freedom to be yourself, you know, to develop and flourish in your own identity. And I love that because what's happening in the world is people are getting their identity from, you know, what they do or what their talent is, but identity that is founded in God. That who I am, I'm a child of God, and I feel the health of that and the incredible maturity and the growth of people. So I want to just honour this house and particularly honour you guys for staying the course. And I want to say Denise never looks any older. I don't know how you do it. Pray. I want you to open your Bibles this morning. That doesn't count for my 25 minutes, okay? Praise the Lord. I want to share this morning and I want to pray for people. And yes, I am training myself to be concise. So I'll be asking the Holy Spirit for a scripture, a picture. A picture can speak 1,000 words. And if you've come for prayer, I would love to pray for you. We're going to go to Matthew 14. Father, I just thank you that the entrance of your word brings life. Speak to our hearts and change our lives today. Thank you, God. Thank you for the presence that we felt in the worship. Thank you, Lord. We drew close and felt your love and are still feeling that and will always feel your love. But thank you, God. Matthew 14, we're going to be reading from verse 22. And Matthew 14 is where I'm going to pick up, has just what had happened before is the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was born in Nazareth. In most of his time, he spent in Galilee. He came from Galilee. He grew up in Galilee. And then in Nazareth, when he did miracles or tried to pray for people, the Bible said he could do very little because of familiarity, because of their unbelief. He couldn't do many healings. So he moved and he established the beginning of his ministry in Capernaum. And so most of the miracles and the training of the disciples when he said, follow me, and it began to manifest what it was to be the Savior of the world, to be the Son of God, and he began to draw the disciples. But he began to train them mainly around the Sea of Galilee. And a lot of the training, a lot of the teaching them that he really was who he said he was and he could be trusted was in boats. So we could call it boating boot camp. He took them into a boating boot camp, and a lot of things happen in boats. And the great draft of fish that came in was in a boat when Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they said, "You don't care about us." He was asleep, not because he was exhausted, because he was teaching them how to rest in the storm, just lean back. Spoke to the storm. So he's training them that he can be trusted. So he's just done an incredible miracle. He's fed the 5,000 with a few fishes and a few loaves of bread. It's this amazing miracle. The first wedding miracle was at Galilee in Cana, the wedding feast. So he is exposing them to the miraculous loving power that he is demonstrating. And he's told them, follow me, follow me, follow me. And so after that, miracle with the 5,000, 22, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat, get into the boat again, and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes, and he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were afraid. They were troubled, and they said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." And when I was reading this, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Tell my people they're not going to be ghosted." So ghosted is a fairly new term. If you don't get the QR codes, you may not get ghosted, Denise. There's actually a movie called Ghosted. And the word ghosted means when your attempts to communicate with someone that you cared about are ignored. It's the idea of someone who used to be friendly, loving, stops responding, doesn't take your calls, without explanation unfriends you, or leaving you confused and unsure. And so here they are. Jesus is teaching them he can be trusted. He is loving. He is kind. But there, the Bible says he's gone up the mountain to pray, and he says, go to the other side. Now, it's the fourth watch of the night, incredibly dark. The Sea of Galilee is at least 23 kilometres wide. They're out in the middle in a small fishing vessel. It's about, 40 kilometres deep. And the Bible says this in Mark. It says they're straining against the wind. They're tossed. They're frightened. And the Bible says Jesus is up the mountain praying and he sees them. It's the middle of the night. How can he see into the middle of the ocean, halfway across the 23-kilometre, the biggest lake in Israel. And because he perceived in his spirit, amen? He perceived, and God wants you to know, I see you today. I see you in that situation where it seems like you've had to row hard, that you feel tossed. There's some big waves. There's some things happening around about you. And God sees you today. He sees your circumstances. And so they're there, and then Jesus comes in a very unusual way, walking on the water. They're freaking out, and they're saying, "It's a ghost. We're sinking, we're going to drown, and we're going to be haunted on the way down. It's a ghost." And God wants you to know, you're not going to be ghosted. He's not a ghost. He actually spoke to them, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer, as I." And we know that Peter's still not sure. Still not sure. He's heard what he's told them, but he said, "I need to hear the voice. Speak to me. If you bid me to come, I'll get out of the boat." And we need to know his voice as well as his word. Amen. We need to be led by the voice of God. So he stepped out, and as you know, Jesus, he walked on the water, and Jesus came and got in the boat with him, and immediately the storm was stilled. God wants you to know, whatever boat situation you may be in, maybe today you feel like your boat is drifting. You feel a bit aimless in life. Maybe you feel like your boat is stuck. It's still moored somewhere, somewhat. God wants you to know, he's stepping into that boat. Maybe that boat feels like it's capsized. You feel like your boat was swamped. But God knows how to float your boat today. Amen. In fact, Peter in the Paul in the Bible, his boat was totally, his ship was smashed. And yet he landed on the Isle of Malta, had a revival, and got a new ship. God always causes you to triumph. Amen. He will always bring us through. But you're not going to be ghosted. There was a prophet, very famous prophet in the Old Testament, that decided he was being ghosted. We're going to turn to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, and we see this famous prophet, and he has had given a hard assignment. It's a number of years now into his assignment, and he's having a tough time. And we're just going to read his lament. It's okay to lament, which is pour your heart out to God. It's not right to criticize and complain. Amen? And so here he is. He's being honest with God, but he's actually venting as well. And in Jeremiah 15, verse 15, he's telling God about the tough time he's having. And he says, "Oh, Lord, you know. You know, you know. Do I have to spell it out? I don't have to spell it out. You know what's going on." He said, "I've been faithful. I've been doing the right thing." And then he says this, I didn't sit in the assembly of the mockers. I sat alone because of your hand." He said, I feel like I'm alone. I feel like I'm on my own here. And so he's telling God, he's being brutally honest. And he's saying, "I feel I've been filled with indignation. Why is my pain continual? This doesn't seem to stop. Why is my wound incurable?" He said, it just doesn't seem to have any answer. That wound means strikes. Incurable refuses to be mended, which refuses to be healed, repaired. "Will you surely be to me an unreliable stream? Will you actually ghost me? Is this just a big lie? Are you going to be a dried up brook? You're going to let me down?" Because he feels like he's being let down. And he's being brutally honest to God. He said, "I feel like I'm on my own. I feel like you've let me down. I've got a dried up brook. It feels like a dried up brook. Will you be to me a deceitful brook?" It actually says, you just having a go at me. Are you just having me on? And he said, "Like waters that fail." And then the Lord says back to him, you know, God is straight. He's a straight talker. He didn't say, "Oh, poor, poor thing." And that. Jeremiah was being brutally honest, and God gave him a straight answer. And he said, "You need to repent." He said, "You need to change the way that you're talking. You need to turn around." He said, "If you will return," you know, repentance just means to turn and go the other way, to think a different way. Amen? To think a different way. One of the great things about Jesus is he tried to get the disciples to ask questions. He gave them parables so they'd ask, "Well, what do I do here? What do you want me to learn?" But there was 26 occasions in the Bible where the disciples, they answered not a word because they were ashamed. They didn't want to ask the question. But God is looking, ask me a question, ask me a question. What do I do here? What do you want me to learn here? He's always wanting us to ask questions because he has answers. Amen? He said, it's given to you to know, to learn to know, to learn to know. And so he doesn't want us just to be blindly following like dumb, you know, animals or something. He wants us to talk and converse. He said, if you will return, if you will return, I will bring you back. That word means to restore, it means to rescue, and it means to recompense. I'll bring you back. You shall stand. I'm standing you up again. You're going to walk in your destiny. I know you're going through a tough time, but I'm going to stand you up. And then he said, if you will separate the precious from the common or the vile. If you will separate, what's the precious? The precious is faith in God. It's relationship with Jesus. It's destiny. It's eternal life. What's the common? That's unbelief. That's stinking thinking. That's where we shake our fist. I've done it. But God, it's not fair. I don't think you're answering my prayers. He said, if you will separate the precious, the common means worthless unbelief. Don't waste time thinking negative, worthless thoughts. It will get us nowhere. Amen? It'll sink your boat. Jesus said, if you will, hang on to the precious, faith-filled, understanding the goodness of God. It's the honourable. It's the fruitful. He said, if you will, he said, you will be my mouthpiece. You're going to be the voice of God to the world. Amen. Let me, and he goes on to say, I'm just going to pull out some scriptures, and it says, they will not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you. I'll deliver you from the hand of the wicked. And he said, and I'll redeem you from the grip of the terrible. What's tyrannical? What's terrible? That's just too bad for words. What seems to be blocking you, mocking you and stopping you? God says, I'm going to deliver you. And he restored him to the call of God from 20 years when he first called him. You're going to stand up. You're going to fulfill your destiny. I'm going to deliver you. You're going to be an amazing prophet as I've called you to be. Amen? Don't ghost Jesus back. Don't unfriend him. Don't get offended. Offenses will come, the Bible says. And we can say, well, let me tell you how bad that was and tell you why I've got every reason to have a pity party. You know, excuses are the language of apathy. If you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. If you argue for your I just tried and it didn't work. If you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. Remember the grasshoppers in the Old Testament? They couldn't go in. I don't think it was just once in 40 years. I think God came to them and said, are you ready not to be grasshoppers? No, we're fearful. There's giants. Okay. A few years later, are you ready not to be grasshoppers? No, they're so big and it won't work. Okay. He doesn't want us to be grasshoppers in our thinking. Amen. Or maybe it's the ghosts of the past that you're having to deal with. I have a wall unit that I've got all my kids' photos, and over the years I've added more photos, I've added little things they've made at kindy, I've added school photos, I've added this photo, and over the years it's gotten very cluttered and covered in dust. And I just slide in another picture there and behind it. And in fact, I have a room, I have an office that is full of boxes and things. And I have watched that show Hoarders to put the fear of God in me that, you know, if you don't clean up, that's spare room. In fact, there's something called the Swedish death clean. So I'm shocking myself, and it's like you're getting old now. You don't want your kids to have to clean that stuff up. It's like, okay. Anyway, and so my daughter's been threatening to come over and help me, and she's a chucker, I'm a keeper. I'm the one that'll go through the rubbish and, why'd you chuck that out? And so she said, Mum, I'm coming over to clean that wall unit. And I thought, oh, that's safe enough. So she bought the, got out the furniture polish, she brought everything off that wall unit, and it took her a couple of hours. She polished it, she dusted it. She said, who did this painting for you 20 years ago? I can't remember. Who made this little clay thing? I can't remember. And then she got all my daughter and her two daughters' photos together in this area. And then my son and his wife and my two granddaughters, you know, all their photos. And over this side, there's my middle girl, the husband, and the two little boys she adopted from Taipei. And they're beautifully made up. And so I got a boot on, I got an excitement. I thought, I'm going to clean up that spare room. I'm going to clean up that office. And I went in there, immediately got depressed, went out again, staggered out. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to drag out boxes at a time and sit in the lounge, watch something on YouTube, cute puppies or whatever. I don't have animals. I wouldn't know how to look after an animal. But anyway, I don't mind watching the videos of them. But anyway, so I got my boxes there. And then I got some boxes, one for Lawrence, one for Madeline, one for, you know, my family members, and I was going to give them their memorabilia. If they want to keep it, they can. I'm getting rid of this stuff. But as I sat there, I was picking up things because I kept everything, school diaries. My daughter's wristband from when she came out of hospital, newborn. And I was remembering as a pregnant teenager how I'd gone to a hospital in Ipswich alone, birthed my daughter. And I started to think, I can't really remember a time I apologised to my parents, because I came from a family, there was a lot of sickness, there was a lot of fighting. Dad was a drinker, Mum had breakdowns and she took overdoses. There was actually a stronghold of suicide over my family line. I lost an uncle, two aunties, and a brother to suicide. There was just a lot of sadness in the family. And I don't think I ever really apologised for what they went through with a pregnant teenager. And, I was very scattered as a mother. And I started to think about them and that I didn't really apologise. And then I'm picking up my son's report card because I went through a divorce. And I saw the C's and D's. God, he didn't have a father those years. I did my best, but I was not really. I failed him. He got those D's. And then I looked at, other things that I started to get filled with regret. And I got swamped with all this sadness. And I remember going to bed that night and just being so overwhelmed with the regrets. And I wish I'd done a better job. And I'm so sorry my kids had to go through that and years without your dad and struggling, you know, in areas. And I was just so swamped with this incredible sadness. And I cried out to Jesus about 2:00. I said, Jesus, help me. I am drowning in all this memories and sadness. And I fell asleep. And then in the morning, I got up and I thought, well, that was a very difficult night and everything. But I'm standing near the bench, kitchen behind me. And I heard the Lord say to me, look up, look up. And I looked up and there was the cleaned wall unit. And he said, look at what I've done in your daughter's life and your two granddaughters. That she is flourishing. Your granddaughters are flourishing. They're going on with life. They're Christians. They're following Jesus. Look what I did for your middle daughter and her husband and how they're flourishing. And they've bought their own home and they've adopted these gorgeous boys from Taipei. And God's healed their broken heart of not being able to have children. Look at your son who was away from the Lord for 25 years and how I healed his marriage and how, yes, he might have struggled at school, but he is doing so well at business and in his job as a builder and his daughters, one healed of cystic fibrosis, both going to a Christian school, both doing well. Both strong. Look at that, he said. Look what I've done for your family and let it go. And that I had an encounter with Jesus. I literally had an encounter. I felt something lift off. And he said, now you go and fulfill my purposes in your life. You are no longer a single mother. You are not a helicopter mother hovering. You are not a struggling mother, go and fulfill your destiny. Look what I have done. And I'm here to tell you, nostalgia is not of God. Nostalgia, you know what the definition of nostalgia is? Because I looked it up, and it actually means... Anyway, trust me, it means it means sentimental yearning, bittersweet feelings mixed with sadness, fondness for a past time. Don't live in the past. Nostalgia's not of God. He'll turn things around, and maybe you don't have that full testimony yet, but I know what it is to go through those struggles, and God will bring you out of everything. Amen? Every single thing in your life, God will give you, amen, a vision and a unit or whatever to say, I will turn everything around for good today, amen? And so today, I want to say, the boats. There's some people here, and you know what it is to struggle with some storms. Maybe it's a difficult marriage. Maybe you've had a child that's gone overboard, as in, what I went through when my son walked away from God or walked away from Christianity as a lifestyle. And 25 years later, he's back and he's fully with God and his home is flourishing. But I know what it is to be in that boat where, Lord, will you redeem? Will you bring back? Will you restore? I know what it is to be in a boat that is tossed by bills and debt and struggling with things, whatever your struggle is. You know, as Jesus stepped into that boat, he said, be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. He said, where is his words? When they said, Lord, save me. That's what Peter said. And are you of little faith? Why did you doubt? He said to Peter. But the Bible says that he stepped into the boat and those in the boat came and worshipped him saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And that's the first time in their journey with him that they actually said, you truly are the Son of God. You are the Savior. You are my Redeemer. You're the God that's going to bring me through everything. You're my soon coming King. You're everything to me. Amen. But they were in the boating boot camp where I go overseas as a pilot who lives next door. John and Jolene, and he actually does these internal flights from Honolulu to LA. And he was saying he was wanting to do the long haul flights from Honolulu to Sydney. And what they did do was to train him to fly those big planes and to go that long distance. Well, they would put them in a flight simulator, and that simulator would simulate different conditions. For him to be trusted with one of those big planes, he had to be able to handle, amen, that which he was wanting to do. And some of the things we're going through, he said, God is just bedding down into us. He truly is the Son of God. He truly is the Savior. He is the one that will come into my boat, and whatever's happening right now, he is going to be the Redeemer, the breakthrough God, everything I need. Could I have the musicians come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Could we just stand? Don't be afraid. That's what he said. Don't be afraid. He didn't say, oh, you're faithless, doubting, whatever. He said, don't be afraid. I'm just teaching you how faithful I am, that I'm an ever-present help in the time of trouble. I'm with you in the storm and I'm going to bring you through. And I felt the Lord say to me that this church has got a incredible destiny and is continuing. And as Jesus said to each one, follow me, that God said to me that I'm making this house a house where rivers of living water will flow. It's a house of healing. That boats of preparation are going to become ships of destiny. Ships of destiny. And God does not want any one of us to have any kind of Titanic fall. because Satan wants to leave those areas of doubt and those areas where we haven't been trained in until of epic proportions it affects many people. But I believe this is a safe house, this is a city of refuge, this is a place where boatmen become leaders of ships of destiny. And so God says that the fishing lane is now going to become the water lane for the cargo ships of blessing. This church is going to be like a shipping lane where people are going to sail forth into destiny, into purpose, into the fullness of God's plan, that it would be manifest and well, and it would be noised abroad that this is not only a seedbed of ministry, but a place where people walk in their destiny, where people fulfill their calling. And so I just want to pray for Pastor Rob and Denise, if I may. And as I was praying, I was jotting down some things the Lord said to me. And so, Father, I just thank you for Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise. And I felt the Lord say that I'm bringing you into a season of resurrection and revival. And I'm releasing a fresh and new level of apostolic grace that you will lift up the hands of many. For there, God says that apostolic grace, that mantle that I'm bringing in a fresh way. God says, I've called you to lead apostles. For there are many teachers, but few apostles. There are many teachers, but few that would carry apostolic grace in this hour. For many have been caught up in building empires and not the kingdom of God. But the Lord says, even as you have established the kingdom of God and have great discernment and governmental authority of how to build and plant, God says that you're going to know in this next season, joy, joy, joy. And there will be doors of travel. There will be a going forth at times, and know that I will build my house and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but I build with you. And God says, you're a builder and you're a planter and you're an establisher, Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise. And he gives me this scripture for you, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who has called you, who also will do it. And God says there's been hidden blessings and there's been things that have been seemingly afar off, but God says it will be brought near and you're going to step in to a season like no other. For the next 12 months are going to manifest what you've waited for the past 12 years and beyond. So enter in to the glory zone. Enter in, for the fourth phase of your life will be marked by glory. And what you thought were the sunset years will become the sunrise years. But it will rise with glory. It will rise with breakthrough. It will rise even with an apostolic grace and an ease. In the breeze, the winds of the Holy Spirit are going to propel you into this new season, says the Lord your God. Amen. 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 Today, if you can relate, maybe you feel like my boat feels like it's just drifting, and God wants to release a miracle of bringing you on course. And maybe you feel a bit rudderless, and there seems to be a sense of no direction. I believe that he is going to give you a course correction, amen? And he's going to cause a fresh rudder of his word. And there will be things that we do to cooperate with God, amen? To learn to do. That's what we do in the Bible. And so maybe you're in a boat where you know what it is to be tossed with crises and financial challenges and maybe difficulties in your home. God's going to step into that boat, and you today will say, truly, he is the Son of God. If you relate to that in any way, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are. If you feel that there's some things happening in your boat, maybe your children, maybe your finances, but you know what? The Bible calls him resurrection life. And on a rising tide, every boat will float. Amen? God's going to float your boat. But there's a turning and a releasing of ships of destiny in this place. Father, I just thank you for each and every one. You see each person here today. Jesus, I thank you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you walk off the pages of this book and you step into that boat. You step into that boat like you stepped into my boat. You step into that boat and bring healing. You step into that boat and bring restoration. You step into that boat and bring financial breakthrough. You step into that boat You reach down into many waters and you bring forth children. You bring forth those that have almost like you felt they've gone overboard. But Lord, I thank you. Nothing is too hard for our God. The arm of the Lord is not too short that it cannot save. God says, I'm reaching out. I'm reaching down. I'm reaching in to lift up the lowly out of the depths. Reaching down into many waters and delivering you from the hand of things that have been too strong for too long. For those where the ship broke up, I've got a new ship for you, just as I had for Paul. I've got a new boat for you. Get ready to rise. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen.